Hey, this is Michael Kaz, and on this podcast, I explore ways of living a more wholehearted and fulfilling life. I believe in the saying that what is most personal is most universal. On this podcast, you will hear personal stories of struggle and challenge and what I and my guests have learned from those experiences. You will hear ideas and concepts that expand your mind on topics like personal development, health, adventure, and sex and relationships. Above all, my intention is to bring a depth of conversation and stories to connect more with my guests and with you. Hey, this is Michael Kaju, and today I'm talking to Andrew Horn. Andrew is a social entrepreneur, a speaker, and a writer. He was on Startup Boost 33 Under 30, and he most recently founded the company Tribute, which the New Yorker called Hallmark 2.0. Tribute makes it easy to create a collaborative video that you can give as a gift for any important occasion. We've done several of those since COVID started. Andrew gave his first TEDx talk at 21, and he focuses his speaking and his writing on the art of meaningful conversation, how to overcome anxiety, ask better questions, and connect with anyone. On today's show, we talk about his journey starting Tribute, and then all of the things or many things that he's learned running a company that is all about appreciation. So we talk all about gratitude, what it does for the receiver, what it does for the giver, and how to give the best praise possible. I call it five-star gourmet praise. We talk about rituals that he has in his organization to make people feel appreciated and more. Andrew is one of the most genuine and insightful people I know. It was a pleasure to chat with him and get to learn from this man. So with that, please help me welcome Andrew Horn. This episode is brought to you by my newest project, Soul Searching Adventures. These are wilderness connection experiences designed to help you get clarity in your life, find deeper purpose, create better relationships, and become more comfortable and competent in the wild. You can apply at www.soulsearchingadventures.com. In 2008, my life changed when I spent 9 weeks living in the desert in a wilderness therapy program. 14 years later, I'm sharing the same experiences and tools that transformed my life. Physical challenge, immersion in nature, disconnection from all technology, and tools to go within and discover more about who you are and what you're here to do on this earth. Go to www.soulsearchingadventures.com to learn more and apply today. This episode is brought to you by Force of Nature. Force of Nature is a meat company based in Austin, Texas, who offers regenerative, 100% grass-fed, pasture-raised, and wild-caught meats. Everything from beef and chicken to wild game like venison, elk, and boar. One thing that Adi and I eat a lot of is their ancestral blends that contain 7% organ meats. And organ meat, if you don't know, is the most nutrient-dense food on the planet. And usually it's disgusting. This is the best organ meat I've ever had because they mix it predominantly with other meat. Our son, 1.5 years old, even loves it. They also have breakfast blends with game meat and so much more. If you've ever watched one of those documentaries about factory farm chickens or cattle and felt disgusted, this is how you can combat it in your own life. What I love about Force of Nature as a company is their dedication to empowering people to vote with their dollars to ultimately change the food system for the better. When you buy meat that comes from these methods, you are contributing to the health of the planet. As consumers, every time we swipe our card, we are effectively voting for the system that produced the product we are purchasing. Regenerative, which I mentioned earlier, for those of you that are hearing this term for the first time, is a way of managing the land that actually improves the quality of the soil through ranching practices that embrace biodiversity above and below ground. And really, at the end of the day, it honors and mimics the way Mother Nature does it. Outside of killing wild game yourself, this is literally the pinnacle of healthy food and the pinnacle for a healthy planet. Regenerative agriculture also leaves the planet better than before, rather than depleting the soil and depleting the land that it is on. If you're interested in this, go to forceofnature.com and enter code CAZ for $20 off your first order. That's forceofnature.com and enter code CAZ for $20 off your first order. This episode is brought to you by Drink Element. Element, spelled L-M-N-T, is a healthy alternative to sugary electrolyte drinks. Each grab-and-go stick pack replaces essential electrolytes with no sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, or any other junk. I am particularly stoked about this sponsorship because Element is the only supplement that I take every single day. That's how I get myself to drink more water. When I do my 3-day fast every quarter, or I do a low carb or a keto diet occasionally, then it's a must. You can get really lightheaded and disoriented when you don't have enough electrolytes. My favorite flavors are the citrus and the orange, and there's even a chocolate one that my wife Adi makes with hot water, and it tastes like hot chocolate. It's great. And the proof is in the pudding with Element. It was developed from by Rob Wolf, who, in my opinion, really brought the paleo movement back into the public sphere in the first place. He's a multi-time New York Times bestseller. He's a chemist and so much more. He's a good friend of Adi and mine, as well as his wife, and that's how we were introduced to Element a couple years ago. Dozens of NHL, NFL, and NBA teams are using it, as well as Olympians in many other sports. And as a listener of this show, Element is offering you an Element sample pack. You just cover the cost of shipping, and you can get it by going to drinklmnt.com/Kaz, C-A-Z. That's drinklmnt.com/Kaz. Let's begin the show. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So you are the founder of Tribute. They call it Hallmark 2.0. And for those of you who are listening, if you haven't already done or been a part of a Tribute, you actually may have and just didn't know it. It's the software that you can use to make birthdays and celebrations really special online. It was, I think, April of 2020. It was Adi's birthday. And the whole world was shut down. And our friend, our mutual friend, Bea, Andrew, she suggested that we give her a tribute for her birthday. And so Bea rounded up like 20 to 30 of Adi's closest friends and family members. And we all made this video for her birthday. And she just watched it. She was sobbing. It was so, so sweet. So you created that. Tell us a little bit about how it started.
Yeah. So the easiest way to explain what Tribute is actually to talk about exactly where it started, which was on my 27th birthday. So at the time, my girlfriend and I were living in a tiny little apartment in Brooklyn, New York. And I was going out to dinner with just her. And I said, I didn't want to have a big birthday this year. I was like really full in on this company I was running at the time. I said, I just want to relax, have a night with you. So we go out, we go to dinner, we dance a little bit, we come home. And when I open the door to our apartment, I see like 25 pairs of random shoes on the ground. I'm like, what's happening here? And then I hear this countdown, 3, 2, 1. And like 20 of my friends all jump out from the closets and the bathrooms. And so she planned the surprise party. So I was happy to see everybody. We're hanging out. And about halfway through the party, she's like, all right, everybody in the living room. And so she sits me up against the back wall, and she had rented this projector. So she puts this projection up on the wall. I have no idea what's happening. And then she hits play. And what I did not know is that Mickey had reached out to 20 of my closest friends and family members and got each of them to submit a 1-minute video telling me why they love me. And so I'm sitting in the back of the room as my dad comes on the screen. And me and my dad have a great relationship, but he doesn't tell me that he loves me. He doesn't say those words that often. And so when he says, like, I love you, it means a lot. So that's how we kick this thing off. The second one is my mom, who's telling me how grateful she is for me starting a new company for her. And third up is my friend, Matt. So I'd been living in Brooklyn for a year at that time, and Matt and I were really becoming fast friends. And in the video, he says, Andrew, I just want to let you know, you're my best friend. And I had felt this energy that he was also my best friend. But as an adult male, it's kind of a really vulnerable thing to say, like, you're my best friend, you know? And so at this moment, in front of all of my friends, I just burst out in tears. I just started crying. And that is my Apple Watch, which I forgot to turn off. So my bad on that price. Nice. So I burst out into tears. And man, I just, like, for the next 17 minutes of people talking to me, I was just like weeping because I was overcome by the recognition and the appreciation and this feeling that the people who I cared most about in the world saw me in this incredible way. And so I came out of the experience. I looked at my girlfriend, Mickey, now my wife and mother of my son. And I was like, this is the best gift I've ever received. How did you do this? And she looks back at me, she doesn't blink an eye. And she says, well, it actually sucked. It took me 20 hours of emailing people hundreds of times, collecting videos through Dropbox, Drive, text message, editing together an iMovie. And so I walked into our bedroom for a moment and I just said, well, that's a tribute video. And I did a Google search and I was like, group video montage, collaborative video. And there was nothing. And I was like, wait, this needs to be a business. Like, this is the best gift. And the only reason people don't do it is because there's no simple way to make it happen. And so what started is, you know, this little idea in 2014 to share my experience with others in the world has grown into this movement. So we launched our first website in 2015. We raised some cash. We put it out into the world. We were slowly growing. But ultimately, like, we had raised capital and it wasn't on this kind of like venture exponential scale. And so around 2018, I was doing a lot more work in the realms of coaching and facilitation and speaking. My co-founder had got a really kind of high powered job at Google and we were just running with contractors and a couple of employees. And then 2020 comes around and that's when the pandemic, obviously in March, just transforms how we're operating as a society. But no one can go to birthdays, no one can go to graduations or weddings. And so basically over the past two years, the company has 30x'd across like all major KPIs. We went from 1 million users in the beginning of 2020 to over 5 million, basically by the end of 2021. And we were in Inc. 500 last year, which is pretty special. But, you know, all of it is really what I think I experienced in the back of that room that day is just that sharing our appreciation with the people we care about is one of the most tangible things that we can do to foster meaningful connection. And in a world where kind of isolation, loneliness is statistically skyrocketing and on the rise, you know, how do we use technology in a way that actually fosters meaningful connection instead of, you know, dividing us? And so that's kind of really where we're at and why we believe in it and why we're excited to keep riding that train.
Such an epic story, brother. You know, they say gratitude is the king of all virtues, and it is the one in which all others are born. So today, what I want to do is I really want to deep dive on all of the things that you've learned about what gratitude means to people, how to give it most effectively, and anything else that comes up.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Joe Dispenza says that gratitude is the ultimate state of receivership. What do you make of that?
Gratitude is the ultimate state of receivership. Well, to me, like the tangible definition of gratitude is the appreciation of a person, a place, or thing. It's you can be thankful for the future, even the present, the past. And so for me, it is this acknowledgement, both consciously and unconsciously, that things are right in the world. And so if we are in the state of appreciating what is, like, we're not scared of it, right? And so the more that we can open up to that appreciation of the totality of our experience as humans, our relationships, the more open we are to receiving the fullness of life in all of its capacities. So but I love that idea of receivership. It literally gives me goosebumps the way you said it.
It also brings up for me like a really tangible feeling of the more consistently I express gratitude, both in my words and my actions, the more I receive. So the more I do around the house, right, in the context of my and Adi's relationship, the more I really show up as co-parent, co-house steward, the more she wants to do it. On the other hand, the more I'm waiting for her to do those things, the more stingy she is, the more she's waiting for me to. So it's like that classic example of give what you want to receive.
Yeah. Well, it's also this, I have this little kind of mnemonic device that is a powerful shift. And it's oftentimes we don't speak this to ourselves, but we have this internal dialogue that says like, I have to do something, right? It's like, I, I have to follow up with that client, or it's like, I have to do this meeting with my boss. And if you just replace the word have with get, I get to, your brain starts looking for like some of the reasons of why that's actually something to be grateful for. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's like, I have to do my laundry. I get to do my laundry. Oh, I get to do my laundry. And like these machines that do like 98% of the work for me. Like, this is incredible, you mm-hmm. know? So it's, and yeah, so it's again, it's like when we're open to like, what's right about these things, our energy towards the thing really does change.
It's funny you bring up that example. When I first started hearing spiritual people use that term, get to do whatever, I was so judgmental. And I just wasn't aware of the possibility of just like trying it on. So what you're saying is say get to, and then just play around with why that's true.
Yeah.
Rather than just saying it to say it.
Because and here's the thing, it's that at foundationally, there is always something that you can find there. And so, you know, this very well about, but me and my wife, Mickey, have this like fun art project called Holy Shit, We're Alive. Because we believe that like the fundamental sentiment of gratitude is just acknowledging that you are alive, or at least it seems like we are alive. And so if you're thinking about that, of like, oh shit, like I got to do my laundry. And it's like, oh, I get to do laundry? What? What's happening? You know, there's something miraculous about that little thing. And so, yeah, there's always something to be grateful for. And also, which doesn't mean that, you know, I think that an important aspect, because I spend so much time thinking and talking about gratitude and appreciation, is that there's also the thing about people always say, it's like, well, what are you always looking on the bright side? Are you kind of like naive to the realities or hardships of your life or the world? And I think that both of them are true. I think that actually being appreciative gives you a greater capacity to receive what is hard or challenging. It is not to transcend it or not pay attention to it, but just to hold the multitudes that things can be really challenging or sucky and also awesome on some level at the same time.
And then if you're in a state of gratitude, you can express things like anger or disapproval without also expressing hatred or judgment.
Yeah.
You can stay connected while expressing those things.
Yeah. So one of the things that I oftentimes think about I've been in a relationship for 10 years with a remarkable woman, and my coach, who you also know because you've used her as your coach, I'm not sure currently or in the past, but she talks about how when your child is upset, if they're doing something that you don't want them to do, like they're not listening to you, they won't come to you, they won't stop complaining or saying the same thing over and over again, you don't remove your love for the child. You're knowing that the love, you can hold a firm boundary and be like, hey, what did I say? Like, hey, come here now, we're not doing this thing. But you don't want to remove your love in that situation, right? Or that they're like an incredible human or person. And so like even there, it's so helpful to be able to hold the appreciation of, say, like a person and who they are, and also the not being met in the way that you need in the moment. Because then when it comes to you articulating perhaps like what it is that you need, what it is that you want, you can do that with an energy that's much more likely to be received.
So you're one of the best praise and appreciation givers I've ever met. One time I showed up at your house, you introduced me to someone I had never met, and you acknowledged me in a way that I had never really heard before. So that was one. And the other is you and I had just had dinner with our wives and we were having a little private conversation. And again, you acknowledged me for something that it just mattered so much to me. The thing that you noticed about me was one of the things that I valued most. Mm. And so I'm curious a couple things. One, where does that come from? That ability to see so clearly what matters to people and appreciate them for that. And then just in general, how do you give 5-star gourmet praise versus, you know, just saying I love you, which is great, but not quite as powerful as some other ways.
Yeah. So you know what my belief here is that all of us have an understanding of why the people around us are amazing and special and unique. Like if you just think about your best friend, if you think about the person that like makes work fun to go to, and you just ask yourself a question like, why do I love that person? Why are they amazing? Like you don't have to think about those things. Like it's innate. You know that. It's why you're in that relationship with that person. And so much of our work at Tribute, and just for me personally, when it comes to writing and speaking, is really helping people to understand that barrier that we have erected between our feeling of gratitude and appreciation for other people and expressing it. Because like we are the block between those two things, feeling gratitude and expressing it. And like what I have come to understand after helping like more than 5 million people to tell their friends and family and coworkers why they love them or think they're amazing is that, again, it's we've been conditioned in so many ways to withhold our praise of other people. You know, first and foremost, it's a vulnerable thing, because if I tell Michael why I think he's this amazing, like just like singular leader of men, then I'm kind of putting myself out there that I think he's amazing, right? So what happens if he's not able or doesn't want to reciprocate that, right? Have I just unleveled the balance of our awesomeness in the relationship if it's not reciprocated? But the reality is of like, why does that need to be reciprocated? You know what I mean? That's just an egoic need to be seen in some way. But the act of, again, gratitude is magnified when we express it. So there's all sorts of research that shows about gratitude being about like one of the most generative states from a health perspective that we can be in. And so like what you can think about here is like, if I am grateful for Michael, because I think he's a great dad, I can have that thought. But the second that I express that to Michael, it is a force multiplier of the gratitude that I have felt to now put that into the world to see Michael experience. There's research around this. It's like Andrew Huberman does amazing work about this research, which is really around this force multiplier, is that like the way that we experience the benefits of gratitude most potently is actually when we're seeing our appreciation of others impacted and received by them. So like it's a force multiplier for us ourselves, which is so powerful. So it's like thinking about that vulnerability piece, which is like we're often worried of, am I going to upset the levels of kind of like appreciation in the relationship? Am I going to overwhelm someone? Is it going to be weird? And like ultimately, I think that our responsibility as people is just to be kind and to be honest. It's like, I just want to provide space for people to be exactly who they are. I think that that's one of the greatest gifts that we can do socially from an interpersonal perspective, is I just want people to be held exactly who they are. And so to create that space, I have to do that myself. So if we feel appreciation, let that go. If you look at work, it's like bosses who actively share appreciation are 85% more likely to rise in the ranks and be successful as managers and leaders. It's like, that's a study out of Wharton. And so, you know, again, there's dynamics both personally and professionally at play there. And there's tons of stats that if we want to bring it into the workplace, we can absolutely go down. I've got a lot of research there as well. But I would say that it's really just like, what is the barrier that we've built to it? And we have this fundamental saying at Tribute. And it was this awakening of, I actually gave a TED talk on gratitude and how I think we got the eulogy wrong. I think it was probably one of the only TED talks in history that was given by a guy in gold booty shorts and a marching band leader jacket. So I think that I do hold the lone record for that. But when I was getting ready to do it, I had this realization of like, I just saw it in big letters in my brain. And you finished this phrase for me, Michael, which is, if you don't have anything nice to say,
don't say it at all.
Don't say it at all. Everyone knows this thing. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But look at the statement when you remove the two don'ts. It becomes, if you have anything nice to say, say it all. Mm. If you have anything nice to say it all. Because again, it's the act of sharing our appreciation multiplies gratitude in our body, which makes us feel better. It's proven that when people receive gratitude, they're more likely to pass their own recognition of someone else. So it has this snowball effect of not just impacting the recipient, but your entire community, whether that's personal, familial, professional. And it's like, if you just think about the last person who lavished praise on you, like I said this thing to Michael, which I don't even remember, that impacted him in some way. When's the last time someone said, you know, hey, you're amazing, here's why. And you're like, no, gross, I don't want that. No, it doesn't happen. It feels great because all of us have been conditioned to tell ourselves why we suck in so many ways. So to have other people reminding us why we're great is just universally welcome. So that's the thing to focus on there, is like this mentality of like why you love people, why they're special is so intrinsic to your being. It's just about getting out of the way. And just the science shows that you're going to be more successful at work and relationally. Again, it's like one of the most powerful things we can do to deepen our connections. And at the end of the day, our connections, our relationships are the number one way that we're going to achieve sustainable happiness. So that's what we need to focus on personally. And then, you know, I'm happy to dive into the tactics and the techniques and the constructs that make it easier for us to share, as you said, like the five-star gourmet gratitude.
Yeah. And I do want to do that. First, I want to say that when you shared about the things that block us from sharing gratitude and appreciation, when I first got together with Adi, very early on, it became very clear that one of the most important things to her was constant praise and appreciation. And one of the hardest things for me to do in our relationship was to praise her about anything. And what I realized was exactly what you said. I told myself a story that if I praise her, I'm somehow making her better than me. I'm mm-hmm. making her think she's better than me, and I'm acknowledging that she's better than me. And especially when it came to our careers, which was a sensitive spot for me, it was an insecurity of mine, telling myself she's better at business than me. It was really freaking hard. And it hurt our relationship because she was working so hard on being a better leader, and she was crushing it in her career, and she just wasn't getting that from me. And so like really seeing that story clearly and realizing how much bullshit it was, yeah, was so helpful to us.
Yeah. And you know, it's the one that I find is much more prevalent. And this is why we do a lot of work in businesses, is that this is endemic to so many managers, is they have this subconscious belief. If I tell people that they're doing really good work, what are they going to think? I want more money. I want a raise. And so it's this idea that if we lavish people with praise or appreciation, that they're going to want something or that it's going to impact them, and that keeps them from doing it. And the number one reason that people leave their jobs, this is, I forget who did the study, but it checks out. I forget who's doing the study. I can cite it in the show notes. The number one reason that people leave their jobs is because they don't feel recognized and appreciated for their work. Number one, you know? So I think that in relationships at work, especially, like, it really is that. And it's like, it's so fun when we get to unearth those thoughts and we get to ask ourselves, do I think that that's true? Right? It's like, how many stories do we have about like how we can or cannot share appreciation openly? You know what I mean? Especially in like male relationships, right? Where it's like, again, we've been raised, so many of us, to be adverse to intimacy and connection and praise. And we relate through joking and making fun of people. And, you know, I remember like one of the first tributes we ever did was some frat brothers from Rutgers, and they just roasted their friend to shit on his tribute. And I was like, oh, what a missed opportunity. So I haven't thought about this in so long. I remember writing to the friends of the, and this was like early days. This is like probably 2016. And I wrote to all the people who contributed. I just wanted to say like, hey, this video is amazing. I'm happy you guys are having fun on the platform. And I just said, I was like, also, like, here's some research about the power of appreciation. It's like, if you guys want to create another tribute telling them why he's awesome, we'll give you one for free. I don't remember if they did it or not, but.
Oh, damn. You got to look back into that, man.
I got to look back into it. So, yeah, it's fun to, you know, it just feels so good to do, like, once, because again, when I say it feels good to do that, it's like, again, it's like Huberman's research around this, which is that like how we experience gratitude is actually watching other people receiving appreciation or feeling gratitude. And so it really is this force multiplier of gratitude, is just getting out of the way and sharing it when it's there. And the more that you do that, the more you're feeling gratitude, the more you're expressing it, and it's an upward spiral.
Another thing I've learned in relation to this is that it actually, like, my biggest fear, in reality, it's actually the opposite. So expressing gratitude for someone is actually such an attractive trait. So, well, maybe it's not the opposite. Like it wouldn't make me look better than my wife, but it makes me look better than I did before having the courage to appreciate her, especially if I'm like around other people. It makes me look strong enough to have a wife that's a badass and acknowledge her in front of other people.
Yeah, totally. And I had similar things. Like I had, so my wife is a very successful entrepreneur. She's built some killer companies and really, you know, I think she'll go down as like one of the greatest entrepreneurs of our generation. And I remember early in our relationship, she had this breakaway company, breakaway success called Thinx, this women's period underwear. And I remember early in our relationship, they had this kind of inflection point where they were just taking off. And when that happened for Thinx, Tribute was still very small and chugging along, uncertain about what was going to happen. And we did this podcast together for, I forget what it was called, these two women in Chicago, but we did a podcast together. And they said, like, what is it like, you know, where your wife is more successful than you? And I was like, well, successful, subjective term. But let's talk about it purely through kind of like a business, you know, kind of like financial success. And one of the things I realized in that moment is like, I internalized that anything that kept me from celebrating and appreciating her remarkable, amazing self as an entrepreneur and as a human was just an insecurity about me, right? I made that, that was my frame that I applied to it. That if there was anything that kept me from just being like, wow, what you're doing is amazing, it was just my own insecurity. So anytime I felt resistance to it, it was my own insecurity about myself and what that I was making that mean about me. And that was very early in our relationship, which I think was so helpful because I think that, again, like John Gottman talks about this, but celebrating your partner's wins is one of the easiest, most practical things that you can do to cultivate a happy marriage. It's just that one thing. Like it, for those of you who are in relationships, like if you can just adopt that practice, if your partner does something good, like my partner is getting ready to close a very large round of financing, we're in the middle of a little bit of a conflict right now, but also I like went over to the room and I like hugged her and I was like, this is amazing. Cause it just feels good. It's like, it just feels good. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about tactics. How do you give praise that really lands for people and can really be transformative versus just a casual thank you?
Yeah. So I'm gonna take us on a little bit of a journey here. So we're going to start personal. What can we do to share our appreciation more effectively so it has a greater impact on the recipient as well as magnifying our own state of gratitude? Then we're going to talk about relationally. So when we are sharing gratitude in a group or in the company of people, and then I'm going to bring it into the professional. So how do we create the context at work where our employees, our coworkers feel safe and comfortable sharing appreciation? And so first and foremost, there's a book that many of you are probably familiar with, one of the penultimate on communication. It's called Influence. It's a book by Robert Cialdini. And he says this incredible thing. He actually just recently reposted some work that we did about gratitude, cool, quoting his work. And he's like, he kind of gave us a nod of like, this is really amazing. And so what Cialdini says, he says, it is not our statement of affection that impacts the recipient. It is our explanation of it. And I'm going to say it one more time. So it is not our statement of affection that impacts the recipient. It is our explanation of it. So it is not telling someone, hey, you're awesome. It is not telling someone you're the best. It's telling that person, hey, you're awesome for this thing that you did, right? It is telling someone like you're the best because it is the explanation of that statement of affection. And this is not to say that the statement of affection isn't a really good thing, but if we're talking about how to give the gourmet gratitude, the stuff that's going to really like seep in deep, it's all about the explanation. And so one of the constructs that we crafted many years ago and that we've kind of like talked about in a lot of our materials for people who are starting tributes is the concept of I love you because. And so it's like that idea, if you're leaving the house and so you say like, honey, I love you. And it's just like, but if you go one step further, I love you because you're an incredible mom, you're an inspiring workhorse. It's like, you show up so hard for the family. It's when I have those qualifiers there, it actually does kind of reinforce the feeling for me because I know that I love my wife, right? But when I force myself to come up with those reasons, not only does it start in me by when I articulate something more deeply and I have the words to express it, I actually feel that more deeply.
Yeah.
And so now I'm feeling it more deeply, but also for her, she knows that this is not some sort of reflexive, thoughtless act, that there is thought behind it. And that is, I did a podcast recently with the founder of 1-800-Flowers, and he said that the secret to meaningful gift giving is just that it's thoughtfulness. It's that it's not about the greeting card. It's not about the gift. It's about the thought. It's that you were thinking about somebody. And the way that we can let people know that we are truly thinking about them is not just the statement, but is the explanation of it. So the next time that you give a compliment, the next time you share appreciation, don't just say, thank you, like thank you for, right? The next time you tell your husband or your wife, I love you because, and taking it that one layer deeper will fundamentally transform how you share appreciation.
Fucking gold, man. My wife comes up to me all the time. I say, I love you. She said, but why?
Why?
Yeah, that's such a potent phrase.
Totally. We make fun of it. So it's for those of you who are familiar with like the love languages, words of affirmation is one. And so we call it words of affirmation and we also call it compies, the short for compliments, like making fun. So that it's like, because also my partner constantly wants this and it's like, it's something that she wants. Great. And so to make something fun about it, you know, so that we can access it more easily. I love you because, yeah, go ahead.
Before we go into the group setting. So this is a really consistent practice for my wife and I, for me to just be praising her as often as possible. And mm-hmm. she just gives it to me without ever asking. And she's just world-class at it.
Yeah.
So I'm just always trying to catch up. And my question is around, like, if I'm telling her things that I appreciate her about her multiple times in the same week, I don't want to just be repeating the same things over and over. So how do you, and I'm sure you've experienced a lot of that. What do you do in your mind to think about things you love about Mickey creatively?
You know, it's, I feel very fortunate to have a partner that really does inspire the shit out of me, like quite frequently. And so I think that even when we think about gratitude, you know, speaking to the things that people do, their achievements, like that is nice, but speaking to who people are is, you know, really kind of like what's most impactful of like to your courage. You know what I mean? And so it's like, even today, it's like, so what I experienced of her coming back into the operations of her business, which she didn't really want to do, to raise this round of financing. And so it's like I said, it's like, you know, the courage and strength that you showed to like come back in here. So if you're looking at what people are doing in their lives, because if you're in a relationship with someone, like there's a lot that they are doing every single day. And so look to what they are doing, what they are achieving, where they're spending their time, and what is the quality that is being expressed in that activity. And what you can speak to is like, what is the quality that's present there? You know? And so like we had established family dinner time, you know, recently. And so I just want to say like, that felt so great to be there. I appreciate you being the stand for this kind of intimacy, you know? And so just look to the actions. What are they doing? There's lots of it. And then what's the quality of that person that's being expressed in that moment? And that's how you can keep it fresh.
That's great. So you're praising them for more a state of being, more like underlying who they are, and then giving an example of a time that they exhibited that.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally. Love that, man. Yeah. Okay. How about group dynamics?
Yeah. So group dynamics. So, you know, I have already told the story about Tribute and our founding and what was so impactful about that experience of not just having one person tell me, hey, here's why I love you, or here's why I think you're awesome, but 20. And I think that, again, culturally, we have been conditioned to be humble, right? To abstain from receiving praise. And so when someone tells us, hey, you're amazing, for so many of us, our first instinct is like, don't worry about it, right? Don't worry about it. Were they worried about it? They were just sharing praise. You know, they're just saying thanks, right? like, don't worry about it. Or we deflect and we say, like, it wasn't anything, right? And so it's this thing that has been just totally enculturated in us. And so we are, again, the same way that we're resistant to feeling and then expressing, it's the same thing of, like, a lot of us are resistant to receiving that, right? And because, again, like, we don't want to make somebody else, like, feel uncomfortable, or we don't want someone to think that we are entitled, or whatever those things are, these stories we've constructed about what it means to receive praise. And so, again, it's fun that we're doing this sequentially, because what we just talked about is that gratitude, one of the most generative health states for a human, one of the ways that we magnify our gratitude is by seeing someone else experience a state of gratitude, which can be triggered by us sharing it with them. And so if we want someone else to magnify their own state of appreciation, it is actually of service to fully receive that, to practice saying thank you, right? And so that's a little bit off topic. So when we think about the power of a group dynamic, is think about how often you organize groups of people to celebrate somebody, right? It's today, we've got a 1-year anniversary at work. 2 weeks from now, I've got Mickey and Radha's birthday. We have all these things. We've got retirements. You just officiated a wedding, right? It's how often do we bring people together to celebrate somebody? And, like, these moments are all profound opportunities for, more than anything else, connection, bringing people together. And one of the easiest, most practical things that we can do to help people to connect is to share our appreciation. And so, again, a lot of people have resistance to this. And so what can we do to, especially in these group dynamics, set the context where this act is celebrated and welcomed by people? And we have another funny statement that we use, a tribute oftentimes, which we say that the things that we share at funerals are the things that should be shared at birthdays.
That's good shit right there. That's good shit. I love that, man.
You think about it, right? It's like the moment that most people hear the profundity of their lives and how they've impacted others is after it's over. And it's like, I'll try not to curse a lot, but, like, how fucked up is that, right? Like, that the moment that you are most likely to receive the true recognition of how you impacted people is after you're gone. It's, you know, I just, when I was doing this podcast, when the founder of 100 Flowers, he said that it was something crazy, like 95% of all men will never receive flowers as a gift until they're dead. And I was like, wow, crazy. So
how do we send men more flowers?
Sendmenmoreflowers.com. There you go. That's our new business. We just did it. So really, context is everything. And I think about this as embodying the identity of a conversation catalyst, because it takes one person to be a stand for unifying the conversation and talking about, like, why this is what we're doing. And so the conversation catalyst is the person who just says, like, that we're going to use a prompt. So not even that, we'll come back to conversation catalyst and unifying, but prompts are really what are going to transform how we share appreciation and group dynamics. Is that within art, there's something called the context for creativity. If I tell Michael to draw me a picture over the next 5 minutes, he doesn't know what he's going to do. He has, like, the cold start problem. But if I say, Michael, draw me a picture of your childhood bedroom, like, even if he can't draw, he knows what that looks like and he can do it. So you provided context. And so same thing here. It's that if Michael has a birthday party for his friends and he says, everybody wish happy birthday to Mickey, everyone say something nice. They don't know what to say, but the power of the prompt is so tangible and it does a bunch. So a prompt is just a question or a statement people are going to fill in. What's your favorite thing about X? What do you love most about Radha? It is, what's your favorite memory with Adi? So the second that we can introduce a prompt into a group context, we immediately bypass that cold start problem where people, especially if they're friends or if they're colleagues and they know each other, if you've given them that prompt, now they already have an answer, right? So now they have something to say. And so what you've also done is you've unified the group into an activity that says that, for a lot of reasons we've already discussed, there can be some vulnerability, some insecurity about expressing our gratitude. So for you, if you're the person who's at a dinner table with people for a birthday, if you're just in a Slack thread with people, you just say, it's this person's birthday, what's your favorite thing about them? You've created this sort of positive peer pressure that's showing everyone that this type of communication is actually something that we celebrate here. You've made it easier for them to actually know what they can say. And so that simple thing of unifying with a prompt is like, really, it's so simple, but it's the only thing that you need to unify a group. And I promise you that, have you ever had, everyone's had this, I don't even know, I ask it as a question, but it's, you go to a meeting, you go to a dinner, and you're at like a longer table, it's like 8 or 10 people. And there's some people that you don't even talk to throughout the dinner, right? There's like separate conversations, you're kind of on your toes of like, should I be talking to this person? It's when you're at a meeting, when you're at a lunch gathering, it's generally speaking, people appreciate those moments to unify and slow down because they get to breathe, they get to pay attention, they get to take it in, you get to connect with everyone in smaller doses.
Rather than worrying that you should be spending more time talking to X, Y, or Z.
Totally.
Much more present.
But, and then again, it's like, so what is the thought that's happening in everybody's head when they do that? It's like, oh, I don't want to impose what I want to do on everybody. I don't want to break up all these other things. And so what I would say there is that, like, ultimately in those moments where we're celebrating someone, it's just, let's be of service to this person. If people there care about that person, that they're all invested in making them feel good. And so that conversation catalyst, the person who is bold enough and courageous enough to set the context, introduce a prompt, unify the conversation, that one thing is so powerful to celebrate people. And it's like, again, it can be in person, it can be in a Slack thread, it can be like anywhere, and it's going to cultivate more meaningful answers and give people more confidence to do that.
That person, that catalyst, it's common to feel afraid, like you just said, of imposing your will on what a group should be doing. Like if I'm hanging out with a group of friends, I might want to give one of these prompts. In the past, I was a little afraid, thinking that, oh, it's maybe too serious. It's not fun enough. People are going to judge me for it. And I've experienced quite the opposite. The catalyst is seen as the unifier. They're seen as courageous. They're seen as really leveling up the gathering that they're a part of.
Yeah, 100%, man. It is. And this idea of, if our goal is to appease everybody, we're really going to, like, that's a great way to not really build meaningful relationships with just about anyone. And so it is that willingness to perhaps upset someone in the service of like someone else, you know, or the group, and taking a stand for that. Cause I've tried to unify times and it hasn't gone over well. And people are like, no, we don't want to. Great. I don't think about those times, but the 99% of times they did go right. And like, we all got to sit there in a unit and make someone's year, or in some cases, like life to that point. Like it's just worth it.
I had another insight while you were talking about receiving appreciation. So I would say at this point in my life, I'm far better than most at receiving. And historically, I really suffered from too much humility, maybe like a false humility. And part of the story that was going on in the past was, okay, I'm receiving this attention right now, and everyone around me is thinking that I'm taking up too much space. I'm getting too much attention right now. But when I really zoom out, I think what's actually in people's head, and I know this because I experienced it that way when I see someone else receiving appreciation, I'm actually feeling moved by the connection going on between the giver and the receiver. I'm also feeling appreciation for the same thing about that person if I know them. If I'm seeing my wife being praised for something specific, I get to feel gratitude for her for that thing that someone else is praising her for.
Yeah. One of my favorite prompts to people who are listening after we've unified is to remind people, and just I oftentimes introduce things into a group as an invitation. It's like, I'm going to offer an invitation to the group. It's as people are sharing their reflections and their appreciation for Michael, I want you to give them the attention that you wish you would have if it was you. If you were the person who was being reflected, what kind of attention would you want? you know? And so it's just like to put yourself in that shoes and just remind people of like, that it's a special thing that people get to receive and to keep them focused on it. But yeah, it's a powerful practice to bring that into our groups. And, I've seen it, you know, fundamentally transform a lot of friend groups, because when you do this in groups, you really do change the dynamic of what is acceptable from a communication standpoint. It's from the time that I received that as my friend, from my friends, I was early in forming that community in New York. But once they saw how impacted I was, it liberated me to now share all of those messages with everyone else in my friend group, because that's what I wanted to do. And that's oftentimes our kind of response, is that when someone shares appreciation for us, it kind of like smashes the boundary that we may have to sharing that with them. So when you do that in a group of people who are connected, again, a friend group, family group, coworkers, it changes what is accessible and available for them to communicate with each other. So it has really long lasting impacts.
So your business is making it easier for your consumers to do this with their loved ones. What sorts of customs do you have in your business that have this sort of essence?
Yeah. So, you know, I think that it all comes down to, when I think about culture at companies, for me, it's all about rituals. And rituals are just the things that you do consistently with intentionality. And so we already talked about one of those statistics earlier. The number one reason that people leave their jobs is because they don't feel recognized. Something that I often think about at my office is like, we're fortunate. We have about a 30-person team now in country, about like 80 people overseas doing video editing and support. And the number one driver of discretionary effort. And so discretionary effort is, we all know it kind of just by like intuitively, discretionary effort is people going the extra mile. It's the time that an employee decides to pull an all-nighter to get something done, not because you're going to drop the hammer, but because they just really want to contribute. So the number one driver of discretionary effort within companies and organizations is the depth of their relationships. And so how connected do your employees feel to each other? And again, one of the most practical things that you can do and measure is recognition and appreciation at your workplace. And so for us, it comes to like, what are the milestones and the moments that we can ritualize that are opportunities to open up appreciation between our employees? And so the simplest way to think about that is like, we all have some of these moments, right? We'll just start with two: birthdays and birthdays and anniversaries, right? It's so all of your employees have birthdays, they have work anniversaries, whether it's 1, 3, 5 years. And so looking at those and just simply taking a stand again to be the conversation catalyst. And so if it's a D's birthday and someone throws a message into a Slack thread or into an email thread that says, hey, it's a D's birthday, she's been working your butt off. What's one of your favorite things about working with her? Right? It's like right there, you've unified the prompt. You've given people an opportunity and perhaps a positive peer pressure, which you may make some people uncomfortable to do that. But again, it's in the service of connection. And that's okay, you know, to introduce, you said earlier, pressure is a privilege. And it's some of the most valuable things that we're going to do in life won't be that easy. And so introducing those moments to do something positive, you know, is a judgment call that we get to make as leaders, and one that I think is ultimately going to be really beneficial. And so look at those two. Create rituals around birthdays and anniversaries. That simple thing. You have a recognition program at your company tomorrow. That's all you need. Literally birthdays, anniversaries, make a list, have one person who's responsible for sending out a prompt. Boom. You now have a recognition program in place at your company. And so next up, what we would do is I'd say that it's important to have, so there's a lot of tools that do this within companies. Like there's really simple ones in Slack, like Hey Taco. There's things like Bonusly, which is actually what we use. And this is, again, it's having a tool that shows your company that this is something you do consistently, where the rituals of birthdays and anniversaries are occasional, but it's also some of the most important appreciation that we can give at work is not on these, what you would call kind of special moments, but it's in the moment. And so when something good happens, like how do we show our employees and take a stand that we value this in the moment recognition? And so for us, we have a program that, again, we talked about context. The prompt shows people that this type of question, sharing this type of gratitude is accepted and celebrated. So similarly, having a program in place at your company shows your employees like, hey, when something good happens, do it here. Like, we literally pay our employees to share appreciation. They get points for sharing appreciation. And as I just know, as a, you know, the CEO of the company, that if our employees are sharing like meaningful appreciation, which is based off of like our values, communication, support, you name it, that's going to be something that ultimately is building our team relationally, and that's going to show up in their effort. So those are a couple of those things that do. And I think, again, it's really important that it starts at the top, that leaders are articulating why appreciation and recognition is important. And so I think that, again, for leaders to take a stand and show people, like for me, what I tell people is I say that, hey, this is a win-win situation. It's like my desire to put in place an employee recognition company is not just because I want you to feel good here. I really do want you to feel so lit up and recognized, but also I want our company to crush it and to keep growing. And I know because of the data that when you feel appreciated and when you feel connected, you're going to work harder. You're going to be happier here. You're going to take less days off. So this is a win-win, right? It's like, I want us all to feel this way at work. And I know that when we feel that way, we're going to perform better as an organization. And so when people can see transparently why it's something valuable to do, not only on a feel-good perspective, but on like an actual performance perspective, I think that it also changes the mentality. So those are a couple of things that you can do to really kickstart recognition and appreciation at work.
Beautiful, man. I know that one of the metrics you track in your users is, did you shed tears of joy? So please talk about that one. And are there any other things that you're tracking to know if you're having an impact on your consumers?
Yeah, absolutely. So this has been a big part of, you know, how we've constructed Tribute, because this is my second tech company. And again, as we built this company, as the world started to become aware of the ills of pervasive habitual technologies like social media and really the detrimental impact on not only ourselves on a personal level, but on a societal level. And so a friend of mine named Tristan Harris was the founder of the Center for Humane Technology. And he really talked about like fundamentally, like what is wrong with technology is that the company's objectives are not aligned with the benefit well-being of its users. And so if the objectives are not aligned, it's like, so when Instagram is designing their new home feed, it's like the things that they are optimizing for are time on site. It is kind of click-through rate, opens. And when you ask someone like, are you happier or more connected when you spend less time or more time on Instagram? And pretty universally, people will say less time. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's like we are optimizing for different things. We're trying to optimize for happiness, and they're trying to optimize for ultimately their shareholders. So there's this very clear split. And so what we started to look at as we were building this tech company that we hope becomes as pervasive as one of those at some point, is how do we align our objectives with those of our users? And so we looked at like, what are the things that people really care about? And so I'll get to our TOJ statistic, but one of the ones that I think is actually most important is we call it the community connection statistic, which is every single person who uses Tribute as a creator or as a recipient, we send a survey and it says, did you feel more connected to your community after participating in this Tribute? And 99% out of 5 million people said yes. 99% said using this service, using this product made them feel more connected to their community. And so, you know, even right there, like why we're doing what we're doing, it's like, this is how we show that like it's working, right? And so we certainly have our business statistics, but also how do we track like what it is that we're contributing to our end users is powerful. And then one of my favorite ones, which is I talked about how Tribute started. I sat in the back of the room bawling my eyes out for 20 minutes. And we kept getting that feedback in the early days that people were crying. And I just thinking like, what other gift does that? What other gift makes people cry? And so we added this question, the last one on our survey, it says, did the recipient or did you cry tears of joy watching your Tribute? And after, again, more than 5 million people on the site, 83% of every Tribute recipient says that they literally cried tears of joy. 83%. And so still, you know, I smile when I think about it, because how absurd is that? That I get to run a company that 83% of my customers cry tears of joy when they watch it. But I know that because I've experienced it. It's real. It is a transcendent experience when done right. And so, so I feel very grateful that we get to build something that makes money while also contributing into people's lives in a way that is so meaningful to them and also to me.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It makes me think of Pharrell. There's a video of Pharrell with Oprah of him watching a video montage that they put together of people singing the song Happy all around the world. And he's just bawling. I'm just imagining all of these people receiving gratitude like they never have in their life and just being so moved by it.
It is a special thing that we're very grateful to be able to put it into the world for sure.
All right, bro. This has been great. It's such a pleasure, such a privilege to be able to talk to you in general and just to hear everything that you've learned about gratitude over the last 6 years, 7 years. And yeah, one of my favorite things about you is that you so embody the work that you do. There's so little distinction between your work and your play, because the way that you show up as a friend and just in community is embodying all of these things that you practice. So thank you for the work that you do in the world and just who you are, man.
Oh man. Well now, so thank you so much for that. And I forget how I reflected you kind of when we met last time, but again, one of the things I love about you is just authenticity and integrity. So same thing there, right? Of there just not being that chasm between like what you're feeling and what you're saying, but it just looks like, again, it's like when you're showing up that you're just, I guess some people call it like right speak, of like, it's just real and transparent. And it just, for me, it engenders this like real trust, which is so nice. I'm just like, you know, you get what you get. And I love that, man. So it's love the conversation. Love that you're thinking about it. Excited to share it. And I mean, we could also do a giveaway for your people. Do we want to do some free tributes?
That sounds great, man.
Okay, cool. So let's do this. You get to pick the code name. So we're going to do for...
So it's going to be Kaz.
So it's going to be Kaz. So the code's going to be Kaz. And when do you think that this will go live?
6 weeks.
Okay, 6 weeks. So we're going to do, this will be in the show notes, I imagine. Mm-hmm. We're going to do code Kaz for 3 months after launch, which is probably going to be like right before graduation, Mother's Day, Father's Day, some good stuff like that. And we'll do Kaz. We'll do a free DIY for any of your listeners. So that's $29 off your first tribute. And again, especially as you're thinking about like some of those holidays, right? Like Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduation. It's like if there's someone in your life who has fundamentally impacted your path, who's been a stand for you, who you love, who has loved you, of there is no reason that that person should have to wait until they're in a box or moved on from this life to hear that from you. And so whether you use our platform or whether you just do it tonight at the dinner table, I hope that, you know, one line that rings true from today's conversation is just, if you have anything nice to say, say it all. You will never forget it. And yeah, I'm excited to see how it shows up.
Thank you, man. That is so generous of you. All right, brother. Thanks again, man.
Peace out.
Hey guys, one more thing before you take off. This is the Friday Exhale. Every week or two, I send out an email with a very intimate view into how I'm thinking about and working on my relationships and personal growth. They include personal stories, books, articles, and podcasts I'm finding, conversations I'm having, exercises I'm using, and more. If you want to check it out, go to michaelcaz.com, michaelcaz.com.